Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. This is show number 35. On today's show, we talk about the secret to living to 112, yearbook pictures, Jason's first trip to Fenway Park, and share 6 tips to make your workplace more fun.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 315. Actually, no, that is incorrect. We are saying hi from Studio Comfort Inn.
303
yes.
Is our room number.
Yes, in Greeley, Colorado. So let's just start the show there.
We're in Colorado.
Colorado. Yep, we're at a speaking gig at a Comfort Inn, and we're bringing this show to you.
Yes.
We have this really cool little microphone that hopefully will serve us well. It's called a snowflake microphone.
Yes, right? Not to be confused with its older brother, Snowball.
Snowball,
that
yes,
we use at home.
What we normally use. So this is kind of exciting. We had some time before our program tonight and get a chance to get this out. And I guess I should also mention, like we normally do at the top of every show, that if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com. Or give us a call at our Club K&J hotline at 608-554-0803. So I always like Colorado. It's one of my favorite places with the mountains and the evergreen trees and things like that. So it's cool to be here.
I'm anxious to see the mountains because we drove in last night after our flight and it was, what, 11:30 at night?
Yeah, so the flight got in at 11:30.
So we didn't see, we have not seen the mountains yet.
And it was a couple hour drive up here. So we didn't get into, what was it?
2:30.
About 3 o'clock on our bodies, but about 2 o'clock local time. So
but we did get a good night's sleep. So we're all energized,
rested
ready
up
for
and
the show.
Ready to go. I don't know where I found this little tidbit, so I hope it's true. But for the mind bender, the question for this show is, what color was Coca-Cola when it was first produced?
I can't imagine it being any other color.
Allegedly it was.
Huh. Well, I'm going to go with red.
Red.
Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe that's how they got the red.
Yeah.
Red logo and
I
whatnot.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll... Of course, as always, reveal the answer at the end of the show. What color was Coca-Cola when it was first produced?
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for parents.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Now, I have a cool story here. I found this on happynews.com.
Oh, I love that site. Yeah.
Talked about it in our blog before. But this one, the headline is out of Great Falls Tribune from Montana.
Okay.
Okay. Man, 112, says secret to long life is being active.
Hmm.
All right. Walter Bruning of Great Falls said the secret to living a long life is staying active, and he should know. The retired Great Northern Railway worker celebrated his 112th birthday on Sunday. Bruning said that if you keep your mind busy and your body busy, you're going to be around for a long time. About 60 people helped Bruning celebrate his birthday at the Rainbow Retirement and Assisted Living Community, where he has lived for 30 years.
That's like my whole life.
Yeah. Rainbow employee Mary Coates was one of them. She said Bruning has a great attitude and always focuses on the positive. He wakes up every morning, puts his feet on the ground, and it's a good day, she said. As of Monday, Bruning was the 27th oldest person in the world, according to the Gerontology Research Group's website. The site lists 115-year-old Edna Parker of Indiana as the oldest. Boy, she's really getting up there. Bruning was born in Minnesota in 1896.
Wow.
And moved to Montana 90 years ago. He told partygoers about the changes he's seen over the decades, having lived in the days when there was no running water, to modern times where there are, quote-unquote, buttons for everything. Technological breakthroughs such as radio, TV, automobiles, and computers make life more pleasant, but sometimes I wonder if we appreciate what has freely been given to us, he said. Bruning told the group to love and appreciate their family and friends, and above all, thank God for the many blessings he's given us throughout the years. That is your Sunday sermon and no collection, he concluded. There's a lot of wisdom in there,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, that's some sage advice. Yes,
you live to be 112 years old, you pick up a few things along the way, right?
I can't imagine what he's seen in his lifetime. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it hints at it, but...
1896. He's lived in
no
three centuries
water, now. No running water, and now bottled water. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you think of the dichotomy.
Well, I think anyone can look around in their life, and any of the people that have gotten, you know, in their 80s, 90s... I don't personally know anyone in their hundreds, but those are always people who are pretty active.
Yeah.
You know, they're ones not sitting around, doing nothing, watching TV.
Waiting for death.
Yes, exactly. So, some important advice. To stay active, keep your body active, keep your mind active. Also, just the idea of being having a good attitude and being grateful for things.
Yeah.
I think are some pretty important things. And it sounds so simple. But if you look around, there's not a lot of people who are doing that.
Right.
So it must be a little bit trickier than it appears.
Well, you know what I think it has to do with is the kind of the peer interaction, like who you hang out with. Because my grandma, my mom's mom, Grandma Miller, as
she's
you
quite
know,
the lively
she is quite the lively
young lady.
Young lady, and she lives in a retirement home type thing. And, I mean, she's out and about. More than most, you know, middle-agers,
mm-hmm.
because she just got a lot on her plate, and not that she's overscheduled, but she's just involved in things where she's helping with the church, and she's helping with this group and that group, and
well, in every group, every I suppose nursing home or heck, every corner office cubicle has the group of people who stand around and complain about everything.
Right.
And your grandma's definitely not one of those people, and it doesn't look like Walter here is one of those people. So. I guess, is it fair to say that if you stand around complaining all the time, you're killing yourself? Is that
probably slow.
A little bit strong, but...
slowly but surely.
Yeah. So if you want to live to be 112, and I'm not sure if I want to live to be 112, but definitely 100 maybe, that'd be okay. Make sure to stay active,
mm-hmm.
both physically and mentally. Well, this month has been all about the workplace.
Yeah.
That has been our theme. And I'm imagining that there's probably some people out there listening who work somewhere where maybe it's a little bit, shall we say, less than fun.
Right.
So what we put together this show, we put together 6 tips to make your workplace more fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I just heard the other day someone said, you know, we were born to work. Like, that's kind of, like, why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds so, like, really? You know, like, there's more to life than work. But, you know, if you just sit around on your hands all day, you're not going to have
a... You're not going to last very long.
You're not.
Yeah.
So, you know, work is good, and if we could make it more fun, it's going to be even better. So, here's
okay,
some
so,
ideas.
Tip number one is, this one might be my favorite.
I know.
Get a pet.
Yeah, get a pet. So, decide together with your coworkers what would be a good workplace pet. And every, you
a
know,
llama.
Can we get a llama? That'd be sweet. It really depends on the culture and of your group and, you know, location and, I mean, tons of factors. But something small usually works best, like a turtle or fish or frog. But if you can actually swing something more adventurous, like a snake or iguana, that'd be pretty sweet, too.
I don't see why this is totally doable.
I mean,
you know, you've got a kindergarten classrooms all over the world that have a pet gerbil or something like that.
Yeah.
Why couldn't an office pool together and have a little mascot and
our nephew Andrew, remember they went through a couple hamsters because they didn't make it through the weekends at people's homes and
that'll
whatnot.
Happen.
But
sucked up by the vacuum sometimes.
But that's just something so, and then you can, you know, kind of talk together and get a name for it, and you know, it's just something very fun.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
Number two. Keep it fresh. Have some fresh flowers around, maybe in the break room or the bathrooms. Now, something so simple. You go to Kroger's or whatever your local grocery store name is and pick up flowers at the beginning of the week. And, you know, those carnations last a while.
It's amazing how much that adds to the vibrancy of things and to the positivity and just the gratitude. Just, you know, a few bucks a week to get a bouquet of flowers and the smell. And this especially, you know, if you live in an area where we're now heading into fall and it's going to be winter before you know it, like having something like that just going to keep you cheery through the winter.
And you know, if this is something that you want to take on for yourself, maybe you're the person who just goes and gets them and brings them in.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't have to ask
anybody.
Quickly
become the most popular person in the office.
Right.
I bet, huh?
It's like, where are these flowers coming from every week, you know? So.
All right. Number three is be spontaneous.
Yes. Liven things up from day to day. Get a group together and maybe go out and build a snowman on a cold day in the parking lot. Or I like this one. Bring in some eye patches and bandanas and just have like a spontaneous pirate day. Like, who's going to care, you know? And if you have customers, that's even better because they're like, what's with all the fun, you know? Or just order a pizza for no special reason. Again, these are things you really don't have to ask for permission for.
Yeah.
You just kind of got to do it.
Yeah. And it, you know, if there's a strength in numbers, so if you want to do this and maybe you're a little nervous or shy, recruit someone else to be on your team. And if you both do it, then you'll both look silly together and other people will be jealous and
they'll want to
join in on the fun. So don't feel ashamed to grab some support.
And that's one of those things that you're really only limited by your creativity. So take a few minutes to think about it. You know, number four, unique writing devices. Okay. Almost everyone, I know we're all at computers these days, but you still have to have a pen on your desk or a pencil. So either something I do is tape a fake flower to your pen. So it just makes it a little bit more fun, or use one of those oversized pencils,
a giant pencil.
I got one in San Diego,
or a golf pencil. You could go small.
Yeah. The extremes. Or this is something from grade school, okay? I had a teacher that would always give us seasonal pencils. So in the fall, there'd be like pumpkin ones and then, you know, holiday ones and things like that. And we loved it. It's just
pretty
so
cool.
Silly. So just make it more fun.
All right. This one is definitely up your alley. Number five, go barefoot.
Go barefoot. You know, there are studies out there that prove that you are more productive when you're barefoot. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, whether you can convince your boss of that or not, debatable depending on the level of adultitis.
Sure.
But either wear fun slippers or comfy shoes. I know some people wear those moccasin things. You know, changing your shoes, it's like, let's learn from Mr. Rogers, you know? He would come in and change his shoes. And
probably depends on where you work, I'm sure, on
definitely.
This one. You know, see police officer walking down with no shoes on might not be so good for him, but...
Yeah. But especially if you're in an office setting and your feet are under a desk all day, is anyone really going to care if you have, you know, big foot slippers on or whatever those furry ones?
Probably not, no.
So.
Okay, last one, number six.
Encourage creative attire. Now, this you might have to model, whether it's a fun necktie or mismatched socks, which Jason loves wearing.
Yes, I do.
Colorful shoes or just fun patterned shirts, you know, just basically liven it up a little.
There's always something. I know we've talked in our speaking programs about Mays Lumber, where my dad works.
Yes.
And he kicked off about 2.5 years ago, Tie Day. Every Thursday is Tie Day. He wore a tie. They have these yellow uniform shirts that... you know, they're so bright they'll burn your retina if you look directly at them. But So he mixed it up and he brought in a tie. And now every Thursday is tie day. And most of the guys in the office wear a tie. And customers are bringing ties in. And they're looking forward to it. And so it's kind of a fun way to add some life. And also kind of show that you're regular people, you know. They're competing against the Home Depots and the Lowe's of the world, their old 150-year-old lumberyard, and that's one of the ways that they stand out with their personal touch.
Yeah, so. And that's just, again, very simple ideas and very contagious. So if you bring a few of these into your workplace, pretty soon you're not going to be alone. You're going to have some friends joining you.
Yeah, how can you not have fun with a llama in the office?
That's what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Sweet. Okay, you need to tell me what you were talking about. We were prepping this segment here, and you were talking about the Me and My Llama song. What is this you're speaking of?
Probably mid-80s, Sesame Street had this segment on with, you know how they do these little things where they visit different people. Well, it was a song. It was like, Me and My Llama, Me and My Llama, going to the dentist today. And then there was like this kid, and he had a llama, and they actually took him to a real dentist. Because can you imagine what a llama, terrible teeth. I mean, they were terrible. But they went to a real dentist.
Like an old wooden fence.
The dentist cleaned him up. So if you've heard that song or know what I'm talking about, give me a shout out, because Jason's looking at me like I'm a freak job. So
yeah, 608-554-0803.
Me and My Llama.
Give Kim some support if you've heard this song. Okay, so we're in the feedback section anyway here, and we had a couple of things we wanted to share about some of our awesome members. First of all, a thank you is in order to the Pinto family, right?
We no longer need anything for our baby because
we're good.
The Pinto family, thank you so much, Oscar and Jennifer and little Marcus. They sent us like the buku box of baby goodies and everything from adorable little bear shoes to onesies to baby oil, baby powder, outfits. I mean, it was overwhelming.
Quite a collection of things. So that's nice and surprised.
And I have to say, we had some fun. We had been on a trip, and we came back and found this big box. And at lunch, our whole staff sat there, and we just pulled one thing out after another. And everybody was like, oh, look at that. Oh, and so it was quite a reveal. It was fun.
It's also kind of a shock to realize how little this baby is going to be.
Yeah, there are tiny stuff in there.
So thank you guys for that. That was so very totally sweet. Generous. We wanted to give you guys a shout-out. Also wanted to welcome Rachel Wester. She's one of our more recent members, and we recently profiled her on the website. So,
welcome, Rachel.
Any of you guys listening can go check her out and introduce yourself. She's from Tilley, Alberta, Canada, which is a very small town. Yeah. And so that was pretty cool. She's got some fun pictures that she sent along of her with some Native Americans and Indians and...
I don't think she has much adultitis. No, I don't know if she's taken the quiz, but I bet it's pretty low.
Yeah, and she also emailed me a couple days ago pointing out these muffin top pans that she saw. She thought it would be a good thing for us to carry in our lemonade stand.
Now, what do you mean by muffin top?
Well, you know how like when you have a muffin and like the top is the best part because it's fluffy and light, and then you have that rock hard bottom sometimes?
Yeah, who
wants
these
that? Are muffin pans that basically just make muffin tops.
Elaine from Seinfeld
would love it.
Tried
right?
to do this,
so
yeah.
She sent me a link, and you know, awesome. We're working on getting them. I have our chief sales servant Jenna; she's on the trail, and so yeah. I mean, when we get feedback like that, we like to take advantage of it, and we'll see. Maybe before Christmas, we'll have muffin top pans.
That'd be
awesome.
And
meanwhile, while I was looking at the muffin top pans, I also found, which I've seen before, the brownies that are only edges. Right?
Yeah, the like, pan looks like a maze.
Yeah,
basically.
And every single brownie is an edge piece, which is, I love the edge pieces.
Which is terrible for me, because I love the middles.
So we're definitely going to get...
We should do a poll. Do you like edges, or do you like middles?
Yeah, do you? What do you think?
Middles,
email us,
people.
Email us at podcast@kimandjason.com, or give us a call at the Club K&J member hotline, 608-554-0803. You'll be able to leave us a message. Let us know... Middles or edges?
And Jason goes even beyond edges. You like corners.
Well, because there's more edge.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's the way to go. Okay. We also have a comment. I wanted to call your attention to it. Maybe you had a chance to read this. I think this was in regards to the article I wrote, the first Cereal Box Chronicle column that I wrote a couple weeks ago. And Ryan Culbertson, who him and his wife are members in Club K&J, he had wrote, you know, basically a real quick comment afterwards just saying, "Hear, hear."
Okay.
So, nice. You know, just that he agreed with it, enjoyed it. Well, then we got this comment from his wife.
Mm.
And I wanted to point this out because I think this is so cool, what they're doing and what they've done. And I think it's great inspiration for everybody else listening. So this is from Melinda. "What my husband, Cubby, didn't tell you above with his hear, hear comment was that he is, in fact, beginning his dream job right now. He is in the Navy and was a nuclear mechanic. He had the brains for it, so he was pushed into that field when he first enlisted and stayed there for a decade, doing mind-numbing work that he found boring and redundant. Now, coming up on his 13th year in the Navy and his 32nd year of life, he is training for his dream job, to be a pilot. Actually, he wanted to be Superman, but being a pilot is as close as reality can take him. For the first time since he was a teenager, he loves his job. For the first time ever, he wakes up excited to go to work. The switch wasn't easy on us. We had to make the decision to leave a comfortable life and a very well-paying job where he was at the top to start at the bottom again with little pay and our fifth child on the way.
Wow.
He had to learn how to bite his tongue and be looked at as a kid who didn't know anything when in reality he was almost a decade prior enlisted when he was picked up to become an officer and then get his wings. He has had to swallow his pride and eat dirt quite a bit. But this coming Saturday, he takes his first solo flight. He has always been an easygoing, fun guy, but the lightness in his step lately has been quite noticeable. You're right. It isn't always easy, and for the last 4 years, we have had to make very tough decisions and do without a lot of the things we were very used to. There were many times when both he and I wondered if this wasn't one of the dumbest decisions we've ever made. Things were often uncomfortable, but stepping outside that comfort bubble often is. But here we are now. Despite his age, a little old to be starting a naval pilot training, our large family size, almost 7 kids, I am due within a few weeks of Kim, and the tremendous pay cuts we have had to take, we made it. We are a success story that your dreams can come true. It is happening to us as I write this. Thanks for the post. Your words are very true, and sorry for the long comment. I just wanted to second your idea."
Wow. You know what jumps out at me is that they are overcoming, they've overcome like so many excuses that a lot of people make.
Yep.
Like, we have kids, or we have, I mean, some people just say we have a kid. I mean, they have a big family.
Right.
Age, you know.
Age, yep.
Money.
Got the money and got to provide for your kids and taking a pay cut. Yeah. I think that was one of the main things in the column I wrote was everyone has obstacles. Mm-hmm. Everyone has hurdles. And a lot of people just kind of throw those up as like, well, I guess I can't do it. But my point was that every hurdle can be hurdled.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, Culbertsons, I mean, they prove that several can be hurled at once. So
yeah.
For any of you guys out there that are, you know, stuck in a job that you really don't like or feel like you should try to hit a different career, use this as an example.
Yep.
That, you know, with whatever hurdles or obstacles you have, there's opportunity. And so kudos to you guys. Thank you, Melinda, for writing that in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And congratulations to you, Ryan. That's very exciting to be a pilot. That's
Assuming he's had his first solo flight by now.
Yeah, so this is a week
cool
or so old. So
to get an update, like if Melinda's listening, send us an update. How'd it go? And do pictures. It'd be great to
how
see.
How exciting is that? Yeah.
How excited were your kids? And, you know, just the follow-up story would be great to hear.
And we also got an email from Stephen Saki, and he sent us a fun link.
Very fun.
I think it's called yearbookyourself.com, but we'll put a link to that in the show notes. You basically make your own yearbook pictures of what you would have looked like if you had graduated in anywhere from like 1950 to 1968 to 1985, and you basically upload a picture of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it inserts you into these like various yearbook pictures.
Kind of like
it's
that
hilarious
elf thing that went around Christmas where it sticks your head in there. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We played it around with it and got some of Kim. And we'll post some of those ones of Kim in the show notes today as well. And And you can check that out and have some fun with it yourself. So thanks, Stephen, for sending that along.
You.
It's a great way to escape adulthood. And finally, we want to welcome all of our new subscribers. We're growing by leaps and bounds here with Club K&J. We've got some new folks from New Hampshire, Aptos, California, Baraboo, and recently from Baxter, which is a company. We spoke to some people there in Round Lake, Illinois.
Yes.
So welcome to all you guys. We hope you're enjoying your Club K&J experience. And with all of you listening, as always, weigh in. What do you think about living to be 112? What do you think about muffin tops? What do you think about
middle
brownie
pieces.
Edges versus the brownie middle?
Llamas going to the dentist.
if you happen to check out that yearbook yourself and want to send along a picture or two,
awesome.
You can send that to podcast@kimandjason.com. Or, as always, give us a call at 608-554-0803.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Well, my brother and I got a chance to go to the recent gig in New Hampshire. We had a program there, and you stayed behind to rest up a little bit. So my brother Doug went, and we had a great time there. He got a chance to see the ocean for the first time. And then we decided to drive down. We were so close to Boston. It just so happened that the Red Sox were playing
the Red Sox.
The Blue Jays in Fenway Park. And being Cub fans and big fans of those old-time ballparks, we had to see Fenway. So,
and you saw it through the lens of rain? Is that?
It was a little sloppy, a little soggy by the end.
Could you see through all of the...
It misted and rained pretty much the entire game. And we sat it out. We were there. We sat it out through, like, I think 7 innings. I think we left in the 8th inning. We were just so waterlogged and
oh,
tired.
Soaked.
But it was a beautiful ballpark. And I love Boston. I love their accent over there. It's just, I'm sure many people listening to us say that we have a funny accent in the Midwest and Wisconsin. But I knew that I was in a different world when we... got off the plane and got to pick up our rental car, and the guy said that you can have this car or you can have the HHR. And it took me a while to understand what he was talking about. And then at the game, Doug and I had gotten a picture taken. We asked a guy behind us to take our picture, and he said, sure. So that was cool. It kind of feels fake when I hear it, but... it's very authentic.
It is very authentic. It's neat to be in a different setting where everyone's kind of has this whole different way of talking.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're so passionate about the Sox. So
the Sox. See, the Sox by us are the White Sox.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's weird.
That was kind of neat too, yeah, because in Chicago you hear the Sox and it's White Sox, but then hearing them talk about the Sox, it's like, wait, you're talking
Red Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox. So
yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of fun, and we had a good time there. Also wanted to mention that Doug, my brother, who many of you have seen in various videos, and he's kind of our technological video
Expector.
Actor, you what have you, he's putting together something that you guys are going to love, okay? He interviewed the adultitis guy, I should say. He put it together, but the adultitis guy interviewed Barack Obama and John McCain about their views on adultitis.
Yes.
And it is awesome. So if we're head very strong into the presidential campaign. If you ever wondered what Barack Obama and John McCain feel on the issues of adultitis, you are not going to want to miss this. We are going to be releasing this probably in the next week or two. And it's awesome.
Well, and you know, just as concerned citizens, we felt it was our duty to try to get this interview to happen because, you know, everybody's wondering about the environment and the economy
the war.
And, I mean, money. But
what about adultitis?
What about seriously? What do they think about adultitis? Are they going to do anything about it? Is there anything they can do from a national standpoint? And they had some really interesting thoughts on
very
it.
Very good. Some controversial.
Yeah.
But some also very.
And the adultitis guy did not back. He was a tough interview.
He was.
You know. So.
And the last thing we're leaving September, heading into October, you want to reveal what the theme is?
Yes.
Shocking. I know. It'll surprise everyone listening.
Halloween.
Yes. Halloween. Everything Halloween is coming up next month in the Club K&J. So definitely do not want to miss a second of that.
We're getting our spookies on.
Okay. Yes. Sure.
Well, it's just, you know.
Do I get candy?
Well, of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
So our cool thing this time around is something that we've seen in practice in the workplace, bringing joy to many.
Totally.
And it's called, it is basically the wall gumball machine.
Everybody Wait, know, what?
The wall gumball machine. Did I stutter?
Wall gumball machine. So it's like a gumball machine on your wall?
Exactly. Basically.
How did they come up with such a device?
It's like a frame. Pretty much, and yet it's in the shape of, well, not the shape, but it's a gumball machine. You can put gumballs in the back of it, and then you have that little cool little thing to crank, and the gumball comes out, and it's just kind of one of those things where you look at it, and you're like, does that work? Is that real? Are those real gumballs? Like, you know, because it's a frame, mm-hmm. like a picture frame. But my brother-in-law, Gene, lives in Fort Worth, Texas, and he is an Edward Jones agent, and he has clients coming in and out all day, and they have that in the hallway down to his office, and my sister Karen cannot keep the thing stacked fast
enough. I think the
enough.
Adults love it more than the kids.
They do. They do. You know, gumballs, if you remember, last for about 2 seconds.
The flavor.
But it doesn't matter because that first 2 seconds brings you back to childhood so much that you just, it's exciting. So. Yeah. So yeah, that's our cool thing. Just something
another
you can
thing
add.
To add fun to the workplace, isn't it?
It is, and no batteries required. It's plastic. It's just one of those simple, fun little gadgets.
And of course, 25% discount for every Club K&J member. So
yeah,
check out the wall gumball machine at the Kim and Jason
wall.
At the Kim and Jason machine. Lemonade stand. All right, Kim. What color was Coca-Cola when it was first produced? You said red.
Yeah.
Allegedly, it was a greenish color.
Ew.
I know.
Green?
Sounds kind of unappetizing. I'm not sure where that came from or...
Huh.
I'm almost positive it's true. Because I found it on the internet.
Oh, are you serious? So, you just didn't...
No, I found
really
it from like
a source?
Well, I found it from a fact, like a fun fact thing, so... I didn't have the time to go onto, like, Coke's website and
Well, we went to the Coke factory. It. I'm trying to remember if they said that. I don't know.
I don't remember. It does sound kind of vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the answer. Coca-Cola used to have a greenish color to it when it was first produced.
Huh.
What's up, Doc?
Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Today's prescription is very simple. All of my prescriptions are very simple. I don't ask very much of, of you guys. But if you don't do it, you're just asking for adultitis to take over, okay? So add some fresh flowers to your home or workspace.
Can you add plastic flowers?
No.
Okay.
They must be fresh. They must be fresh flowers. Just get a bunch of daisies or they don't have to be the expensive bouquet or anything like that. Just a couple and just bring them home, put them on your little table or have them at your workspace and just do it. Seriously. It's
Nike.
Just do it.
Well, that's it for this show. Be sure to check out the Clubhouse for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Greeley, Colorado. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.